Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host Scott Telford, joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Hello.
And Josh Brown.
Hello.
And we're talking about all things Nintendo based, because it wasn't until I started bringing up the exclusives that Nintendo have lined up versus Xbox exclusives versus the PS4's exclusives that it seems like this is Nintendo's year. And in like a, not like in a stealthy way, but they've got a hell of a lot lined up, and it's not until you start reeling through everything that it kind of starts to hit home. What,
ooh,
Josh Brown?
Nothing. Just earlier on, Benjamin Richardson, the great man himself, was telling me that they have no Switch games.
Yeah, but he thinks Mario Odyssey is one of the best ones of all time.
He's not wrong.
He's not right either, though. It's good, but it's not that good. But not to worry. So we can get to all these things as we keep going. But yeah, just to quickly reel off, as far as I can tell, the Xbox One's exclusive lineup is next to nothing. They have Battletoads. Kinda. Gears of War 5.
Woo.
Yeah, I mean, I like Gears a lot, but yeah.
Same.
And then Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which is kind of like a big but it's not going to get people to buy the system for that, at least I don't think so. On the PS4 side, we've got Days Gone.
Woo!
Yeah, zombies and ting.
I'm quite excited for Days Gone.
Yeah, the more I see of the combat, the more I'm excited about it. Ghost of Tsushima.
Yes.
Very excited. Last of Us 2.
Of course, yes.
And Shenmue 3. And so you've kind of got, like, you know, like, take the two, I guess, on the PS4. So, that, like, as far as, I mean, that was one of the assumptions as to why Sony cancelled E3, because they don't have a whole lot to show off that they haven't already shown off before. So, enter Nintendo. Where are you guys in general on the Nintendo sort of brand right now? I think they're in an incredibly powerful place. I think it looks really good.
They've had a pretty amazing 2 years compared to the past 10 years. I mean, well, the Wii was obviously fantastic, but did anyone really take the Wii seriously?
Well,
I feel like people are taking Nintendo seriously again, which I really like.
Because I just did, this general sort of thought came from, I just did the best Switch games available kind of thing, best games so far. And I think Nintendo are in a place that they haven't been in since like the N64 or even the SNES. Like they tried to like go for the whole, you know, the standard like hardcore gamer market or whatever with the GameCube, got overshadowed by the PS2. Wii was very much Wii Sports and maybe Mario Galaxy. Wii U is a complete failure. And so you've kind of, I mean, there's some good games on the Wii U, but you know. And so like they haven't had like this big market, like, you know, popularity since like the N64, since the 90s. And that's what kind of made me think like they're in a great place. I mean, you finally got on board with Nintendo a bit more. Like,
well, that's it. Like, I hadn't really played much before, but I finally bought a Switch, which the last Nintendo console I owned, I think, was a regular Wii. And again, it was at a moment where you weren't taking Nintendo really seriously. I mean, you enjoyed the games, you enjoyed the experiences, but they were offered a very different style of competition from the likes of Sony and Microsoft. Mm-hmm. With those two, it was kind of a two-horse race, even though the Wii was outselling them.
The Wii was insane.
They weren't really kind of in the same ecosystem, whereas now it really feels like Nintendo are gunning for a... They've maintained that audience. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they've gone back to sort of like the N64 days and stuff like that. They're in a really strong position to deliver these games that are just sort of blowing away everyone. I know you don't think Mario Odyssey is one of the best ones, but...
I think it's incredibly good. I just don't think it's one of the best ones.
I mean, I think they've been putting out quality content for the past 2 years. I mean, they've really benefited from a strong launch lineup. Mm. That also kind of comes hand-in-hand with the death of the Wii U. Some of those games were intended to come out on that system, and then obviously they jumped, which gave the Switch a really good head start, but they're in such a great position, and I just want them to upkeep the momentum that they sort of
that's
got.
That's the thing, like you were on about keeping up momentum. They had such a good first 2 years. I wonder if that's why Benji was saying, what have they got this year?
Yeah. True.
Because the big ones that we were expecting to hear more about were, of course, Animal Crossing.
Which Metroid.
Metroid What's Prime 4 being restarted. Yeah.
But not to worry, because they do have it. Like, that's the thing. Once you start pulling up what they do have, and obviously the latest Direct kind of supplanted this by, you know, actually giving us more to the list than I'm about to break down. But, like, yeah, they do have some solid stuff, and we can get to the rumoured ones as well. The first thing I've got down is Ultimate Alliance 3, which is a hell of a get for them, considering that, like, it's the Marvel game for this year. Like, obviously, Spidey was last year, big deal. Endgame's going to happen. And then the only Marvel game, if you want to go play any superhero-type thing, is on Switch. And that's a massive, massive deal.
Yeah, it is.
In fact, I mean, I think, is it Platinum that's developing Ultimate Alliance 3? It's someone who's known for action-focused games.
It's not. It's like Team Ninja, I think.
Yes, Team Ninja.
Yeah, yeah.
And, and so, like, you know, and when you looked at the extended gameplay they put out on the Direct, it looks like it's really snappy. Like, the initial debut, I thought, was a little bit And I was like, I wonder if it's going to be like a glorified Marvel Heroes where it's, you know, you're just punching and kicking, watching the meters go up, and that's it. Which it could still be.
Kind of reminded me of, like, a mobile game.
Yes, exactly. Well, Marvel Heroes is like desktop. You know, you just you pay for your new skins and aesthetics and stuff. But what do you guys think of Ultimate Alliance 3 based on potentially the other ones?
I think this is a really good get for Nintendo. Like you said, when it comes to the other publishers, they don't really need a game like Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Even though it's got, like, the Marvel branding and superheroes are so in at the moment, they don't sort of need to fund this game, whereas it is an amazing sort of, not a niche to fill, but a great market to fill for Nintendo. They can snap up that superhero audience and fans of the other Ultimate Alliance games by being, like, kind of like what they did with Bayonetta 2, where they sort of went, no one else was going to make this game, but look at us, we're making this game and we're doing it for the fans. And it's not, that kind of makes it sound like a cynical sort of attempt to win over people, but it is it's a brilliant business move in my opinion. I think it looks really good as well.
Yeah.
We've been asking for a new installment in this franchise for so long, and we all kind of paid £50 to buy the remasters. I did, Scott.
I already still owned it.
About it. I didn't. I was...
Those remasters were so overpriced.
They were terrible. Yes. And then it's kind of like Activision's like, well, no one bought them, so we don't want to make it again. And it's like, well, if you didn't charge £50 for a port, maybe people would have. But anyway, that's a completely different topic. I think it's a really great game.
Yes, looking at... did you play the Ultimate Alliance games, Rich?
I didn't, know. No.
Okay, so they... I mean, you'd love them. They're like Diablo-style, isometric.
Do you like Diablo?
Hack and slashy fun. And so there's a lot of that stuff. But the way that they went in Ultimate Alliance 2 was to mirror the Civil War storyline, which is more of like a, you know, the thing that eventually went to the big screen. And so with the third one, it's all they've shown off so far is the combat. They've got a cel-shaded look to get around the fact the Switch can't render necessarily as well as, you know, the other consoles.
Yeah.
But I still think it looks really good, very comic booky. And even if it is like just a big old like punch-a-thon, then assumedly you can have up to 4 players and can just connect locally and just beat the living crap out of some scrolls. So I think there is a way for it to be pretty badass. I guess I question its placement in the Ultimate Alliance like trilogy kind of thing, because it is like a weird, it feels like a deviation still.
It's really weird that they're calling it Ultimate Alliance 3, which they are.
Ultimate Alliance 3, the Black Order.
That's really strange because it is looks like such a different kind of style of game. I know mechanically we're still doing the 4-player beat 'em up, but it's a new developer, it's a new console.
Yeah.
I would have expected a reboot, so it really feels to me like they're sort of banking on, like, this is a sequel, it's the sequel you've been waiting for, and I hope it lives up to that.
Same. Yeah. Rachel, someone who hasn't played the other two, are you going to delve into this one?
Absolutely not.
I don't think that was going to happen at all.
Rachel's
going to be so good. I mean, who knows?
The thing is, I'm very much like, oh man, I'm battling the Dreadlord backlog at the moment, and
the industry is not slowing down.
I would welcome it coming out to stellar reviews and maybe being able to try Josh's at lunchtime.
Yeah, I'll bring it at lunchtime
in the office.
Play 4 players.
And if the multiplayer is really good, that would kind of get me, because that's in the end what got me really into Diablo.
Because it already is Diablo style combat. I mean, Team Ninja will probably assumedly have more like combo chains and stuff, like in terms of the melee attacks and things. But if they had like the loot system like Diablo, where you could swap out a bunch of different costume parts and all that kind of thing, I would love that.
You had me a costume, Scott.
I know.
Superhero costumes. I'll pay £60 to
give
mess
me the
about
Batman
with
skin. That's what I want. But I'll be amazed if they do have that level of customization. I think it is literally just going to be a push A a lot and punch things game.
Yeah,
which
we'll
I'm
see.
Game after Endgame, depending on how it wraps up. The next thing I've got down is Super Mario Maker 2, which was deserves a way bigger audience. Like the first Mario Maker on Wii U, later came to 3DS, and that was where I got it. I don't know how much experience you guys have had with Mario Maker.
I had it on the Wii U.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy making torturous things?
Loved it. It was one of those games where I didn't expect to want to buy. Thought, screw it, bought it, and absolutely loved it. Mm. But loved it for about 3 or 4 hours,
okay,
and didn't play it again. So it was very much like once you'd done all there was to do in it, it was done.
Yes.
But I know a lot of people who still play it to this day are doing all like user-made challenge maps and that sort of stuff. And fair enough, that's great. But for me, what it lacked was, I guess, more customization. And it looks like they are bringing that with 2, which is fantastic.
Slopes. You can put some slopes in your levels. So there is that. And one of the best things in Mario Maker is, I think it's called the 100 Mario Challenge. So basically, Mario Maker, if you haven't seen too much of it, is they've emulated like the original Mario, Mario World, Super Mario Brothers 3, and then Mario Brothers on Wii U, the 3D one-ish. I'm pretty sure it's that way. In the Mario Maker, the different level sets that you can use. It's like, it's those ones anyway. It's
two different ones. Or
No. There's one 3 world in 3D. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Either way, point being that on the 100 Mario Maker challenge, it just pulls 100 levels in from any creators and says, here you go, just play 100 levels or up to 100 levels.
Yeah,
and so you can just experience what the community's been making like each week kind of thing. And I thought that was a great way, like Master Chief Collection style. Like here's a playlist of like, you know, what people have been making. And it's like, if the community still could, like, you know, keeps going the way that it did on the Wii U, then assuming that's a great way to just breathe in some Mario.
That's got to be it, isn't it? It's sort of like this sort of just love letter kind of like almost legacy-esque thing.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Where people can really kind of express themselves with these levels. I love the idea of player-driven content sort of like supporting it. I like that we're getting that more. I think Nintendo obviously has the fan base to support that.
I just thought something when you said player-driven content. I didn't write down Dreams. Dreams is coming on PS4.
Damn right it
Dreams,
is.
We can make some Mario on Dreams.
You were going to say it was coming to Switch. I was like,
sadly not.
Have you actually seen the video of someone who made Mario 64?
Yeah, they made Zelda in it as well.
So good.
You can literally do anything in Dreams. I'm so curious how that game plays, but that's a different thing for a different pod. I just forgot to mention it. But yeah, I think one of the only problems with Mario Maker with the 100 Mario Challenge was because you can, if you don't like a level, you can just like go past it and swipe past it immediately. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, this is too hard. Give me another one. But that's the thing. With Mario Maker, people make the hardest levels possible. And it's just like, here's a 500 Goombas and one of them has a key that you need. Go jump in and try and find it. And so they try to get around that by making it so that you can't upload a level unless you can complete it yourself.
Yes.
Which I love.
Okay,
because it's sort of mandated a bit. But then there are some absolute psychopaths that play Mario and they keep, you know, green lighting the hardest things possible. So I guess we'll see. But yeah, Mario Maker coming towards the middle of the year. I think it was June. It hasn't got a specific day, but we have a month. The next thing I've got down is Link's Awakening, which is the remake of Link's Awakening from 1993 or 2? Josh, you're going to play this.
Yes,
lovely.
Because I wasn't even born when this game came out.
You were not in.
Josh, get in the bin.
I know I need to get in the bin. What I've been disappointed with by the Switch so far is the lack of ability to play these old games that I've touched or watched but not actually completed myself.
Right.
So with this, like a proper sort of reimagining of it, I'm fully down to experience this properly. Well, not properly, for the first time, because I mean, I could go out and buy other consoles, but I'm not going to do that. I need some convenience in my life.
You need the virtual console.
Exactly what I do need the virtual console. I need a Wii U is what we're saying.
You do a little bit. But yeah, we'll get to the whole thing with the Nintendo Switch Online's plans after this. But yeah, Link's Awakening, the general art style is very like minimalist. It's very vignette style. It looks like a little toy Link sort of running around.
Yeah, they look like little toys. It's close to, I guess, Animal Crossing.
Kind of looking. Yeah, a little bit.
But they've kept the like Kakariko Village, they've kept it like exactly like it is in the Game Boy game, but it's like just shiny now, and I'm just so excited.
I'm looking forward to taking a chain chomp for a walk. Aww. That's kind of the main thing. But lots of people forget that in Link's Awakening there are like a variety like Goombas. There's a Goomba in there. There's a chain chomp in there. There's some
the
Mario
chain
crossover.
Chomp. Yeah, I remember the there's a cuckoo. Oh my god, I was really small when I played this game. I'm so excited to play it again.
I think because I mean, looking at the last time they sort of did this was Link Between Worlds on the 3DS, which was just Link to the Past with a kind of different story. You could different inventory management and weapon systems and stuff. This seems like way more of just an update, like a visual overhaul.
It's a remake. It's not like a reimagining.
Yeah. I kind of hope there's more to it because I love Link Between Worlds. The one, Link to the Past. God, no. The one that was on 3DS. What's the one that I just said?
Between Worlds.
Link Between Worlds. Okay. Link's been all over the place.
Yes.
Yes, I love that one because it meant that you could access every different, you know, get the hook shot straight away. You can do all these different things that let you access different parts of the world. I thought they did some cool stuff remixing the way that you approach those levels.
Well, I mean, with it being on Switch, there's always the opportunity for like amiibo support and motion
controls. Scan your Yoshi in to get the hook shot.
Oh,
yeah, maybe.
Well, do you guys think this is going to sort of set a precedent going forward? because I mean Nintendo haven't really done much of this stuff before. Like,
well, they did actually. They did obviously they did Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask on the 3DS, and they did Twilight Princess and Wind Waker on the Wii U.
But were those proper sort of like remasters?
Oh yeah, visual novels.
Yeah, I mean the Ocarina that I finished is the one on 3DS. Uh-huh. Like that's what I would recommend. I know it's heresy, but I would recommend the 3DS one.
Maybe agree because I mean there's some things they fixed in the 3DS.
Yes, the Water Temple is not madness.
Water Temple and there's a Master Quest now.
Did you not know this?
I thought they were just like more or less straight ports.
No, they really visually like overhauled them.
Well, I need
mate, you need to go check that out, but not in 3D. Turn that slider all the way down.
Actually, I would argue Ocarina was not that good in 3D, but Majora's Mask, the 3D is
Majora's Mask.
I loved the 3DS. I loved the like the poppy out UI. I just thought that was really nice.
I think it was very well done. But yes, if you've not experienced Ocarina, the 3DS one is arguably the way to go now.
Okay.
There is that. The next one I've got down is Fire Emblem Three Houses, which is their next turn-based version of Fire Emblem, because you have the Fire Emblem Heroes, where it's the Musou game, where it's just you versus fields of dudes, Dynasty Warrior style.
Okay.
And so this is the one that's returning to like the main thread of Fire Emblem. I don't know how much you guys have played Fire Emblem, or
not at all,
turn-based things in general?
Well, yeah, that usually turns me off. So the Dynasty Warriors thing sounds more exciting.
Turn bases
me off.
Why does it turn you off, mate?
I don't know. When I was a kid, I had a very short attention span. Turn-based
back
stuff
then.
Always.
Have you had Far Cry 2 yet? You know,
what are you on about? Far Cry 2 is really good. And topic for a different conversation. I've had to grow into turn-based combat. That's all I'm saying. And I love it now. I was a terrible child. That's all I'm saying.
That is fair. I think because I was brought up on Final Fantasies that I always loved turn-based combat. So anything like this, I'm always just, I just want to leap into. Three Houses, though, I don't know if you guys have played the Valkyrie Chronicles.
They're
more like over shoulder camera, but you're still choosing, you know, you're still placing your units. It's still a turn-based strategy, RTS. But
kind of like a real time turn base though.
Yeah,
it's kind of
like
you pick a move and then the move does the thing and then you can pick someone else to do a move, but then the other person's doing
So you still
technical
have like
technical description.
Kind of. You still have like a map and you're still moving your dudes around and you still AP to spend to, you know, how far you want to move and all that kind of thing. But the way the Three Houses looks to be playing is it's moving away from the way that Fire Emblem's Fates, the last one that was on 3DS, that whole top down approach, and it's just like cameras behind you, you're unleashing your moves and stuff, but you control it in active third person, which I like. I like that idea of being like a modernization of the old school turn-based stuff, so maybe it gets more people in.
Kind of like what they did with Final Fantasy 15, or not quite as...
Oh, I hate the combat in Final Fantasy 15, but I guess the approach is kind of similar in terms of, you've kind of got this like half approach to turn-based. In 15, you could turn it on in the options to do like turn-based stuff, it was also kind of live action too. It was weird.
What's kind of interesting with all of the games mentioned so far is how many different like genres and subgenres they hit. Yes. They're like a real blend of everything. And I mean, I love Sony exclusives, but they've sort of etched out what Sony exclusives are. Like we said before, they are kind of third-person, story-driven games, whereas Nintendo seemed to try to be catering to everyone, mainstream or niche or big or small, whilst, like you said, trying to update it in a way to kind of attract a new audience that may not otherwise be interested.
Speaking of catering to everyone...
Go on, then.
Luigi's Mansion. Does anybody do you want more?
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I guess why not. There's a handful of these we can kind of fire through because there are some really cool rumors to get to. Oh, in terms of ones that might drop in 2019 as well, but Luigi's Mansion is scheduled to drop in 2019.
That is going
to
be so good.
When was the first one of them? Was that like 2005?
Oh, a long time ago.
A while back, wasn't it?
Original DS. Oh no! GameCube? Oh my God! No, GameCube.
GameCube, mate.
God, I'm thinking of what am I thinking?
I remember when it used to be in like every retail store, Tesco, whatever, would just have a little plinth thing with a GameCube showing off Luigi's Mansion. And back then, it was like, oh my God, there's a torch and it has a light and you can see the reflections and like whatever. And I remember that being like the future of gaming. And now, I mean, Luigi's Mansion, there is like Luigi's Mansion 2 or whatever was on 3DS.
That was on 3DS.
Yes. And so this is the thing that's coming back onto Switch. I just think that's it's a cute little random why not have another sequel type thing. But hopefully, it can kind of, I don't know, find an audience, even in the nostalgic sense.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's definitely a nostalgic pull there.
Yes.
It's one that passed me by, so I'll be playing it.
Yeah, same. I kind of want to leap in. Did you play on the Wii? It might be on the Wii U. There was that weird ghost thing in the Mii world, the Miiverse thing, and you had like the tablet, and you could, if you were the ghost man, you could see where all the other players were. I don't know why I'm doing this thing with my hands. But if you were like trying to survive, you had to try and run around in the dark.
I remember that.
And then you were like a ghost and you would hunt people down.
Miiverse.
Yeah, it was kind of in the Miiverse or Mii Plaza or whatever. completely pointless tangent, but in terms of ghost things on Nintendo systems, that thing had a really cool idea at its like the heart of the multiplayer, and I thought that was really cool. So I would love to see something like that, but you never know.
Give me more of that.
Yes. The next thing I've got down is Yoshi's Crafted World, which has a playable demo. Josh Brown.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, right? I don't know anything about this, but I think Rich was telling me the other day about how he was going to get it and how he loves it or something. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not the one that I want them to do in this world of bringing stuff back from the dead or old consoles or whatever is give me Yoshi's Woolly World, which was the one that was on Wii.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the one where he's all crafted. What?
I'm waiting until you're finishing.
Okay. That's the one that I want. I love that art style. I think that one should be everywhere. And I would absolutely love that thing to be. We're getting swore out outside through the glass, but it's fine because the people who are on the audio have no idea what I'm talking about. But not to worry. The whole thing with that, I absolutely love the art style on the Woolly one. And I thought that was the way that they should have gone forward.
But this crafted world, thing. Scott, is pretty much Woolly World. It's like the exact same thing.
No, it's not, because in the crafted world, it's all like cardboard and floating, folded things.
Oh,
and
come
it's
on,
not,
it's pretty much the same.
Why do you hate cardboard, Scott?
No, I don't hate cardboard.
I was one of the six people
who bought a Labo, thank you very much. But no, I'm all game for the cardboard. But I just, the look of Yoshi's Woolly World was absolutely adorable alongside Kirby's Epic Yarn. They kind of had a whole, like, fluffy art direction across the Wii U. And I want more of it.
Yeah,
in
Scott
HD.
Does like his jumpers, doesn't
I
he?
I do. Now that I've discovered sleeves, it's really good.
You discovered wool.
They're brilliant. And so, yeah, so Yoshi's Crafted World, the demo's on the Nintendo Switch. So do you have a chance to play it yet?
Not yet.
Okay, well, I have played it because I try and play everything until 4 a.m. before I eventually go to bed. Yoshi's Crafted World, they've finally, this is a monumental thing. And it won't matter depending on how many other Yoshi games you've played.
I've played Woolly World, so.
Okay, they've changed the aiming. You no longer tap a button, wait for it to go around, and then tap again the cursor so to shoot like, in the direction. Now you've got full control over your aiming.
That means nothing. 10 out of 10. I'm assuming that's a really good
thing. The new age Nintendo, Zelda, Link. Link has a jump button and yeah. Yoshi can aim. Yeah. Okay, so.
What else? What?
Never let it be said that Nintendo's for kids. They've matured in meaningful places. So yeah, the Yoshi's Crafted World, I would totally recommend just checking out. It's very, like, you know, comfortable. It's very child-friendly. It's fine.
It looks really easy, but like sometimes you just want an easy game, right?
Yes, and like Kirby kind of ticked that box last year of just being like, here's some more lovely Nintendo goodness. So there is that.
When is that out properly again?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's
just saying 2019.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, like I said, the demo's online, so like it can't be that much further off. The next thing I've got down is a quick thing to just drop in because the general approach that Nintendo, I think Nintendo's got a very good solid approach for the year overall. Towards the end of the year, we're assumedly getting the mini Switch or the second SKU of the Switch.
Well, nothing confirmed yet.
Nothing confirmed, but that was all based on insiders and stuff. But if we go with the assumption that it is coming, do you think that'll dominate the Christmas window based on the fact that the PS5 and the next Xbox aren't going to be ready by the end of this
year? It's a smooth move if they do it. I mean, like you said, the PS4 and the Xbox One are winding down, and if Nintendo come out and say, hey, we've got multiple versions of this great thing you love, not only are crazy people like you, Scott, going to buy another one, but you know, I think it really.
I'll buy more Labo.
Of course you will.
Deluxe Labo.
I'm not sure that's true.
I mean, I'll definitely buy it if it's like a little thing. But yeah, the one of the leaked like specs or whatever, if you believe the insider stuff, is that they, and we did a whole podcast on this, but they apparently are making a Switch that's more suitable for outdoors, more suitable for children, more suitable to be thrown off the wall.
Essentially, yeah.
So
yeah.
Yes. So that would be their whole play because that's kind of can be the market that they can kind of dominate, and then you've got Kirby, Yoshi, Mario, whatever to go alongside it. Would you buy another Switch though?
Personally, no. I feel like, the only reason I would buy a new Switch would be if they brought out a Link to the Past limited edition one. I might get that. But no, I think it's a really good move, really smart move, making like a more child-friendly, maybe budget version in time for Christmas. That's a brilliant idea.
So many Switches must have been broken. Like so many of the launch version that we all have must have just been given to a child and then just dropped. Yeah, or just like, oh, hey, what did it blah? And just like dropped it straight away.
If I just putting the Joy-Cons back on, like,
they're not solid, are they?
They're not. No. They're really not. But for me, the Switch as it is, because I, weirdly enough, play mine handheld more than I do actually docked.
Same.
I think it's like a good size for it.
Use the TV.
No, I don't want to use the TV. I like to be on the couch and huddled up. It's nice.
Yeah, it is very nice.
Sometimes
very
you just want a potato, Scott.
I'm not going to lie. Oh, God, I absolutely love to potate. But I bought another copy of Rocket League, my like fourth one, just so I could play it in bed on the Switch.
Well, exactly. There we go.
I know, I'm totally with you.
It's a strange sort of thing because when I had a 3DS, I never wanted to play it because the screen was like sort of so small and I didn't really like how compact it was. So that kind of makes me think that if there is a Switch Mini, I probably wouldn't like that either because I like the size of the screen. Now it's sort of perfect.
Yeah.
That's because it wouldn't be for you.
That's true.
As an audience.
It'll be for
it
your younger
be,
bro.
Everything's for kids. Me.
It is true. I mean, if they do a nice little handheld one that's like a Vita size because the Vita is better than Nintendo Switch anyway, then I will totally recommend the video that I did on it. But I would also buy one.
More choice is a good thing, no matter which way you cut it. Like, just give people, like, again, let young kids experience it without
young
the
kids.
Threat of having it smashed in parents. Like, oh my God, why have I just spent all this
£300 down the drain.
Well, insurance is a thing, but...
Sell new consoles. Don't worry about that. So I've got a little note about Nintendo Switch Online. Now, we've covered, like, a bunch of times the leaked SNES patents and the assumption that the N64 patents have been coming out and there'll be emulated versions of the older consoles. But in a wider sense, how much do you think that backwards compatibility and that assumption, that idea of legacy is important this generation?
Very, very, very important.
That's my thing.
Maybe not right now, but we're definitely moving into an area where this idea of legacy consoles and backwards compatibility is going to sort of dominate the market. If rumors are to be believed, that's what PlayStation are moving forward with PS5. They've patented a lot of stuff to sort of make the next PlayStation this legacy console that we can play all of PlayStation games on it. And Microsoft have already started doing that. I mean, remember the applause when they announced just basic backwards compatibility back E3 years ago.
I think that's going to be the thing.
That's going to be the thing moving into the next gen. I think Nintendo need to get to that point as well. They've historically been pretty spotty with letting you play sort of these other old older games on a sort of new consoles. Of course, they've allowed it, but it's
they like to make you pay for it again.
They like to make you pay for it. They like to drip feed you like individual games. Mm-hmm. And for someone like me who doesn't have the long history with Nintendo but really wants to, I need it because for some, I've got currently these kind of Nintendo Online subscription pass, and I don't know why.
Because Kirby's on it, man.
I don't know.
That'd be good. The first Kirby. It's really good.
Maybe I bought it to play again those old NES games. So I played through Metroid and stuff, but I need the SNES.
Or don't
games.
Play the first Metroid.
It was hard. Ooh. It was really hard.
It's not.
Play Super Metroid, Josh.
Yes, play Super Metroid.
I will if I can.
You should.
If I can, I will.
But on the, I mean that's the thing. If Xbox are going to make the thing where you can put any disc back in, same on the Sony side, you put any PlayStation disc in from any past console and it works. I wonder if Nintendo's counter to that is they keep the same monthly price for NSO for Nintendo Switch Online, and you just have access to a whole library of Nintendo stuff. And maybe they bring back the thing that was initially talked about, where they were going to have two titles per month that were going to rotate through.
Yeah.
Because they've kind of just gone away from that altogether, and just like no one even talks about that, even though that was the initial base sell for Nintendo Switch Online.
I would love that. I think that's perfect. Need to do it, but I don't know if they will.
I think because if they do, and Xbox are kind of doing this, being that their new Games with Gold is the first Jedi Academy from the original Xbox. Mm-hmm. That's this month's Game with Gold, and so or one of them anyway. I think if Nintendo said this month it's Ocarina of Time and Super Mario World, just something from the N64 and something from the SNES, and here's Twin Snakes from the GameCube, then you know they've got so much to pull from. So for me, that's a big sell.
Pop my pants with glee if that happens.
I would too, even though the PS1 version of Metal Gear is infinitely better.
Of course it is. Well, yeah, I mean, isn't even all that good.
Yeah, it's not, but it's made by a team.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Oh, do it then.
Come on then, Rich.
And say, you know, like, all this sort of, playing old games again for the third or fourth time is brilliant, but
it is.
I would rather they announced more new games instead.
Do you want ARMS 2?
Sure.
ARMS Reloaded.
To be fair, that's a very, very valid point. They're at this point now where Nintendo have a lot of games, like you just as we rattle through them all for this year and into the 2020, but they don't want to be viewed again as relying on their laurels and just selling you a console based on their past history.
It's
they
true.
Need to sort of put their new games to the forefront, but you can have it both ways, is all I'm saying.
I think so. I think alongside the stuff, because we've mentioned a few things, I mean, there's not that nearly everything in here is a sequel or it's within a certain wheelhouse, and even the ones that I'm about to mention, there's only two that are actually new, so we'll get there. But I think that they can kind of go both ways, mainly because if they do it this way with the subscription thing, I was going to say they do it this way, we only pay for them one more time, because on every other console, we've just paid, I'll buy Link to the Past again and again and again. But maybe if they make us buy the license for it, like how you do on PlayStation and Xbox, you're only buying it once, then you're locked in. You can finally build a Nintendo collection. But if they do the monthly swap in, swap out, then they wouldn't do that. They would just keep making you pay over and over again.
I don't think they will, but with Sony kind of embracing PlayStation Now and Microsoft having Games Pass, will they adopt a similar strategy?
I hope so.
Probably not, but I mean, I think with the way the world's changing, maybe they've got to keep up. I don't know.
I think they could, and I think they have enough titles to do it. I would hope for a monthly service where things get switched in and out.
Ooh.
Hey, you might say. So yeah, so that's all the stuff that is nigh on, sort of like semi-confirmed in terms of leaked patents or things, games that we know are coming or whatever. I've got another six games down here for potential releases for 2019. Some of them are just far away that we know aren't coming till next year, which is why I'm going to open with Metroid Prime 4, because that's that one.
One day.
Yeah, one day. That thing's development has been reset as far as Nintendo have said, so I don't think we can expect that until 2022 or something.
What I think we might get would be Prime 1 to 3 on the Switch.
That leaked, and then they just didn't talk about it.
Yeah, we might get that maybe this year.
I would hope so. They apparently were ready to show that off at the Direct, and then they cancelled it, and I assume it's because they didn't have Prime 4 to follow up the momentum of people being excited.
That's it. How remasters have been used in the past. Not always, but you want to build momentum for like the next release. And I think, you know, if that does happen, we might not see it till 2021.
Well, I have a question, Mr. Josh Brown. Did you play Metroid Prime?
Yes.
Oh God, I was gonna hope you were gonna say no, because I only played it when I got it on the Wii U, because it's backwards compatible or whatever. I was gonna say, because you could have, if they put them out on Switch, you're introducing that franchise to a whole new audience, because I don't know if that many people played them on GameCube and Wii U.
I think it's sort of essential. You know what I mean? You need to kind of reintroduce people to that, because obviously I didn't play them all, so I need to want to go through them and then get hype for Metro Prime as you are.
Yes,
that's how you sell the fourth one.
Exactly.
And so I guess their whole thinking is they need to do it closer to when Prime time 4 is coming out, so they don't dissipate the excitement.
That's true, yeah.
But I also think it's worth reminding people, hey, by the way, there's some cool Metroid stuff out here. And yeah, and put Super Metroid available while you're on. The next thing I've got down is Bayonetta 3, which got announced back when, like, you know, in 2017. And it seems like that will be the kind of thing that might just drop towards the end of this year, because it's been, like, you know, two or three years based on when it started development.
Maybe.
And that's another thing, speaking of putting older games on, Bayonetta 1 and 2 have been on the eShop for, like, 2 years now, or a year and a half. So why not drop Bayonetta 3, is what I'm saying.
I don't know about you guys. What, like, do you guys love Bayonetta? Because I quite... I've played both, and I'm like, they're fine. Yeah. They're pretty good. Platinum Games' shtick is sort of, you know what you're getting at this point.
Yeah.
I hope Bayonetta 3... I like that. It's on the Switch. Again, it's a good guess, similar to Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yep.
I think, like I mentioned earlier, it's a great thing for Nintendo to just say, like, we're funding this series. Here it is. Like, we're doing this for the fans. Mm-hmm. And I think more Bayonetta is obviously... a no-brainer in that regard.
My thing with Bayonetta is that it's almost too stupid. Like, I just I love the idea of it. I should love everything about it, but, and I love the one in the opening cutscene of 2 where she's a fighter jet's coming straight at her and she just kicks it up into the sky. Just kick it, just kick an F-16. Do whatever you want, and that's fine. But I think some of the abilities are, like, so over the top that the screen is just a mess of, like, different particle effects, and her hair's everywhere, and what the hell's even going on.
That's its appeal, though, I think.
It totally is. And I've got a bunch of my friends who absolutely adore it because it is so crazy. But yeah, I think that Bayonetta 3 might be their little, hey, by the way, we've got one of them.
I love that it's around. I love that this and Devil May Cry 5 are out this year. I want this kind of fighting genre to remain as alive as it has been, because there are some great games in it, and we've seen other titles like God of War sort of move away from it. So I want these to still come out and be like, look, it's just still awesome. Well, we can still do it. People are still buying it.
Yeah, it's like Platinum and Team Ninja. Like, Platinum and Team Ninja are one of the only couple of devs, like high-profile devs, that are doing this third-person hack and slash stuff. And Platinum, like, you know, if the rumors about Scalebound are true, then, you know, they're back into development about that as well. Yeah. So it's like, you kind of need to move the other stuff that you've got in progress. So maybe. The next thing I've got down is something that you might remember got announced. It was like last year, I think. It's called Town. It's the new game from Game Freak.
The little village thing.
Do not know what this is.
So there's hardly any details for it other than, like, the base trailer, but it's the new game from Game Freak, the guys that did Pokemon, who continue to do Pokemon. And it's their first new IP in what, like, 30 years since, like, Pokemon?
It looks really cute.
Yeah. It looked extremely cute. It looked like they were playing their cards really close to their chest and extremely safely, because it was like, here's Japanese RPG 101. And so I guess the assumption with that is that maybe it's been in development for a while, and it's like, here's the new premier RPG from the Pokemon folk. Mm-hmm. Because we had Pokemon Let's Go last year. So there's kind of a bit of a space for, like, a new kind of big deal RPG.
Yeah, I like the idea.
How much do you care about Japanese 101 RPGs?
As much as the next one, I don't know. Yeah. But the Pokemon thing itself, I played a lot of Pokemon and not enjoyed much of Pokemon, which sounds blasphemy. I don't know.
I was always into Yu-Gi-Oh
and Digimon when I was growing up. Oh, I just didn't have space in my heart for Pokemon.
It was Beyblade, was it?
It wasn't Beyblade, actually. No, it was Yu-Gi-Oh, Scott. And Bionicle, that's what I played.
Bionicle. Yeah, fair, to be honest.
But the idea of, like, sort of a new IP from those guys is incredibly tantalizing.
Yes, I think, which is why when they first showed the trailer off, and it was like, it was just, here's another cutesy little, you know, you're discovering your own fate style RPG. I was like, I kind of wanted, I don't know, you've got all this Pokemon stuff to draw from, like, do something kind of bigger. But not to worry. The next thing I've got down, which we can very quickly go over, is Untitled Goose Game, because that's only coming to the Switch.
I didn't know that was only coming to the Switch.
You can kind of class that as a Switch exclusive, apart from it'll be on PC and Mac or whatever, because that thing is pure Twitch fodder.
I hope they just keep it called, like, Untitled.
Absolutely. When me and Jules went to Birmingham EGX, it was there, but with one booth, and it had a big thing saying Untitled Goose Game, and we had to go play other stuff. But yeah, I think that they've got a little bit of a weird little bit of momentum around it. Everyone kind of knows that game, and it just looks ridiculous. So yeah, Untitled Goose Game, hopefully coming in 2019.
Looks like a good gimmick game, you know?
It looks brilliant.
We'll get a lot of fun in that streaming out.
You can annoy your farmer, and you can tip his little bucket over, and then you can go and mess up his flowers. I mean, what else do you want to
do? I do that on weekends anyway.
It's true, but not as a goose, mate.
It's true. I also don't do it.
Do it as a goose. I think you can do the honk as well.
Honk.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm hoping for a honk button, because Scott, the last use of a vocal button was like either Transistor when you could sing or Scarface with a swear button.
Okami had a bark button.
Like bark button, a sing button. Like, yeah, give me all that. Can you guys give me your best honks? Good. Very good. I mean, definitely want to see them towards the rest of the year. And the other two that I've got down, the first one is Animal Crossing, which maybe. They've said very suspiciously little of this since they initially said it was coming.
I feel like it got to the point where people were demanding it so much that they went, right, fine, but they don't actually have anything.
Like, fine, we'll do one.
They don't actually have anything done, but they're like, oh, we're doing one. We're doing one.
I could do with that. I think they could do with following that announcement up with something, like some sort of in-game screenshot or something.
Well, yeah, even a teaser. I mean, we've had a teaser.
Yes.
Just
we had a logo, basically.
Teaser number two, something.
Yeah. It was effective, I guess. It got people talking. But yeah, that seems to be like one of their premier franchises yet to, you know, make its mark on the Switch. And the last thing I have down is the untitled Pokemon game, because that's been in the background since like launch now.
Right.
We've seen nothing about it apart from the direct that Let's Go was announced. Mm-hmm. I want to say that was 2017.
It definitely wasn't last year.
2017. It was when they were talking about Let's Go and they were like, oh yeah, we know what you're thinking. There is an RPG coming. And literally that little one sentence is all we've had.
Well, yeah, because they showed, I forget what you call the creative director that showed it, you know, him. And he was sitting at the desk, and the way that they revealed it was just a dude saying, we're going to do one. And it was like that Vince Zampella sitting in the audience at E3 type thing, where it's just like, dude from development team tells us thing is coming.
No, like, he was literally like, no, yeah, there's definitely, there's a mainline RPG that's coming. Like, so it's like, oh, okay, is there really?
Or is it another 3DS port? So yeah, the assumption with the new Pokemon is that it'll be something bigger than they've ever done before. And I love how much they kind of experimented with Let's Go in terms of like everything's visual.
Loved
it. Yeah. And it's like, that's, hopefully they take that and just go bigger. Do Skyrim with Pokemon.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a way to do that.
Well, what frustrates me with these games that you've sort of alluded to so far, and even the ones that are confirmed, is the way that they kind of like roll them out and give you a little title screen, then they're like, see you in 5 years. We'll come back then.
Welcome to the games industry.
Yeah, kind of. But the frustrating thing is, I thought we were sort of moving away
Death
from that.
Stranding.
I really thought we were moving away from that a few years ago, and it seems like we're back to this, like, we're going to announce it now, you're not going to see anything for a while, and we're going to hype you up, which is fine. It's how it's always been. But
I know what you mean,
I'll
though.
Be an old man by then.
You'll be 23. So that's the thing. Nintendo are like notably quirky, and they're notably like they play by their own rules. And I wonder how much they're being like very self-aware banter, where they're just like, we can just put a logo out and just experiment with how much social media traffic that still drives.
It does work.
And they're getting away with just doing directs, just doing a live stream. They're not splashing out $10,000 or a few million yen doing an E3 thing. It's like, here's half an hour live stream and we'll just talk about it anyway. So I think they're just going, we can trade on a logo. Like Metroid Prime 4 has been a logo for like a year and a half now.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
No, it's not even that.
Well, yeah, now it's... even the logo got reset so they can try again. But not to worry. But yes, let us know what you think down in the comments below. Are you excited for the Switch's lineup, and what do you see coming for the rest of 2019? This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Rachel Shackleton.
Thank you for listening.
And joined by Josh Brown.
Thank you, goodbye.
I'm catching you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.